I saw 1,000 young people on the streets of my city. I saw Parliament coming to a halt. I saw the North ablaze for fire. I immediately knew that's what God's going to do. Nobody could talk me out of it. I've seen it.
How do you steward those visions?
I never told many people, but I would cry out to God, take this. I don't want this. All I've got is my life. I'll give you my life. First of all, every move of God has its own sound, its own look. Well, then if it's spiritual, you won't know. Oh, you'll know. The enemy will do everything he can to distract you from your vision. Most people reject the God-given vision for a couple of reasons. One, it's impossible.
Hello, and welcome to the Victory Podcast. This is where we talk about everyday life through a faith lens, living in victory. My name is Angel. I am your host today. And Leah is my co-host today.
Hi, guys.
And today we have a very special guest.
Very, very special. He is a father of the faith. Mm-hmm. He is a father of this nation in Canada. Mm-hmm. He is full of wisdom. He is full of testimonies. And we get to sit down with him today.
Yeah. He's been in ministry for 61 years.
Wow.
And his heart is to see Canada saved. So let's welcome Bill Prankard. All right. Well, thank you so much, Bill, for being on the podcast here today.
Yes.
I am so happy to be with you guys. We love you.
Yes. We love you too.
We love you too.
We love you too. We just had Jacob on the podcast a few months ago, and it was so good to hear.
I know. A little intimidating for me when you've had the best, you know. Like,
well, yeah. He's learned from the best.
Yes, he's learned from the best.
I watched that, and I just loved it. I loved to see the interaction with you guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm thrilled to see what God's doing, raising up the next generation, the younger generation. Because, you know, it's part of the prophecy. The sons and the daughters will prophesy and they'll have visions. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But he's raising up an army of older people too.
Yes, yeah.
We're in together. We're going in together. And that's what Jacob and I are modeling. And so I love it. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And this podcast is important.
Mm-hmm. That's so
it
good.
It is.
Yeah. So Bill, for those, we have partners and friends that are watching. Can you share a little bit just about yourself for those that may not know? Mm-hmm. Just tell us about you.
Well, if you really want to know about me, you should ask my wife, Gwen. We've been married 61 years this year, so she knows me. Well, when I was born, I was christened Anglican. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know that our family was really Anglican, but they had their kids done, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then we lived in the country. The only church was United Church of Canada. So we went there. That was where I learned all the Sunday school stories. Mm-hmm. Then we moved near Toronto, and my parents knew the Baptist pastor, so we became Baptist.
Okay.
And of course, I was baptized in water in the Baptist church. And I asked the people in my church, I had this thing, like I knew there was a heaven and a hell, mm-hmm. and I wanted to go to heaven. So I asked the leaders in my church, how do you know you're going to heaven? And they said, well, you can't know for sure. Just work hard in the church and hope for the best. Mm. So I worked really hard in the church. I mean, I was a young teenager. I was Sunday school teacher. I was president of the young people's group. I was on the board of the Ontario and Quebec young people's thing. I was junior deacon or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I was anything they asked for, I'd volunteer.
Yeah.
I helped dig the hole for the sign for the First Baptist Church in Brampton. And but I still didn't know I was going to heaven.
Yeah.
And I kept, I would tell God, like, I'm doing all these things.
Yeah.
You know, so you must be impressed. But then I met Gwen. The Pentecostal church had a radio program for youth.
Mm-hmm.
And now you guys are cutting edge media. Well, this was in the early days.
Yeah.
And this was cutting edge. So they did this radio program every Saturday morning called Brampton Youth Time.
Okay.
And the pastor would share. They always had a young person on giving their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
But they had this is cutting edge, Poet's Corner, where a young lady would read a poem. Her name was Gwen.
Okay.
I listened to it every week, and I listened to this voice, you know, reading this poem. Now, if you did a young people's program today, you might not have, you know, reading a poem. I don't know.
Right, yes.
But so I get a call one day from my pastor. The Pentecostal pastor had called the Baptist church, said, can you have one of your young people come give their testimony? Well, I was the leading most religious young person. So yeah, Bill. So I go to get my, I didn't have a testimony, but I went to get my, I didn't even know what a testimony was.
Right.
And so I go, and the radio station was CHIC, Czech. All the on-air people were ladies or women, they weren't ladies, they were women at the time. And so this, I met them and it was, in, oh, I met her. I met Poets Corner.
Yeah.
She was, I mean, most gorgeous thing ever. But never, if you just said, you know, you guys are going to have to, I would never thought. She was so far ahead of me with everything. She was so beautiful. And she spiritually, I mean, she was, you know, helping lead young people's things and she was doing this. And here I am. And so, but so the pastor, he was really kind. He asked the right questions and kind of got him. I had responded to an altar call at a vacation Bible school when I was 13.
Yeah.
So that was the answer. Yeah, when I was 13. Yeah. So then he invited me to help with a rally at that night. And he didn't need help, but he wanted me there.
Right.
And I saw something in these people. They knew him.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about him. They knew him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they talked exactly the same in the restaurant because they asked me up for lunch with them as they did on the radio. Well, see, in church, we were one thing, but when you leave church, you didn't want anybody to know you're involved in church.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought they know him. And that Sunday, I gave my life to Christ. Wow. And I found out the people at my church were wrong. You can know.
Yeah.
These things are written, you can know.
Yeah,
those that
right.
are the Son of Life, those
that's
that are not of the Son of God. So that was it. And Gwen and I fell in love. We got married, went to Bible school. And the first 3 years of our marriage was in Bible school.
Yeah.
And so that really was really stretching. So it didn't really count. So we still on our honeymoon, you see. And we pastored churches and for a few years. And then I went to, in 1972, I went to Catherine Coleman's service. And in that service, I had an encounter with Holy Spirit. And I realized, even though I had been baptized in the Spirit, spoke in tongues, I didn't know him. And that some people say, oh, how could, you know, you're baptized. Well, you, like, if the mayor of the city walked in today, introduce himself, you introduce each other, he gives you a gift and leaves. You can say, I met him, but you can't say we're friends. And Jesus said, you know, you'll know him because he's going to live with you. And I think that was one of the keys that I saw in Catherine Coleman. She knows him.
Yeah.
Like when she talked about Holy Spirit, it wasn't a doctrine, it wasn't a power, it was a person, her best friend. And I made a decision that day, I'll give the rest of my life pursuing him. I want to
come on.
I want to know you.
That's good.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, he's my best friend.
Yeah.
And I'm not there yet. I still, there's still so much more.
Yeah.
Every day I say, I gotta have more. I want to know you more.
Yeah.
But he lives with me. And so it's really special. So here I am. And you know, out of that came a vision for Canada and the work in the North.
Yeah.
And,
yes, that's right.
Just amazing life. I tell people, if I wasn't me, I'd be so jealous. The listen, the opportunities I've had, the blessings I've had, the people I've connected with, and what I've seen God do.
Yeah.
Nobody could ever deserve that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It just, but all came from one decision. I'm going to pursue you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm still on a pursuit.
That's good.
That's so good.
That's a good word.
So good. Yes.
You've been in ministry how long now then?
Well, we got married 61 years ago in August, and we went to Bible school.
Yeah.
And so 61 years ago. And in Bible school started ministering.
Okay.
We, God had called me to preach. So when he's called you to preach, Catherine used to say,
yeah.
If God's called you to preach, you'll preach.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to live on bread and water, you'll preach. If you have to preach in the street corners, you'll preach. Well, that's where we started.
Yeah.
We go down to Toronto with the Teen Challenge and go out in the streets and you know, preach in ones and twos and all that. Yeah. And then went to Bible school. And I found out they sent teams out every week to churches. I said, okay, I'm signing up. Well, what do you do? I said, well, what do you mean? What do you play an instrument? No. You sing? No. What do you do? I preach. Oh, great. We need preachers.
Yeah.
They said, give us a list of the churches you preached at and the pastors, and we'll get recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I've never preached in a church.
Yeah.
well, then we won't use you because you're representing the school. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, how do you, you know? So I found out there's a group of students that every Sunday afternoon drove out to a Native First Nation reserve to have services in the houses. And so I felt if I went out with them, I could preach. And I started preaching in the houses of First Nation people on Alderville Indian Reserve, First Nation Reserve, and ended up second and third year at Bible College. Gwen and I led that ministry. That's where I fell in love with the Native people.
Well, that's the first place you preached at then.
And that's where it started because and because if God's called you to preach, you're going to preach. You're
going
to have to. You'll blow up. Paul says, woe is me if I don't preach. So I found people that, and it was very interesting because they're in their homes and, you know, sometimes people would show up very intoxicated. We'd have one guy every so often would show up and always been drinking. And he didn't matter what was happening. I could be right. He wanted to sing, give me that old time religion. And he wouldn't stop until you sang it. And they had like 68 verses, like, you know, give me the, it's good for Paul and Silas, good for me, good for my mother, it's good. And get beneath your collar, won't cost a dollar, and it's good enough for me. They had chorus at verse after verse, but they were reaching out to God. And we saw God do miracles there, healings there. One of the first healings I saw there, Mrs. Gray, we were in her home, Mrs. Gray, and she had two young boys. And she, after one service, she brought her boy, she lifted up his arm. It was all abscess, sores, boils, and you know, the dirt had gone into him, so it was infected. It really looked awful. She said, would you pray for my boy? So, of course, we, Bible school students, we prayed, then we said goodbye, and we left. And then we got back the next Sunday, and she came and she said, I want to show you my boy. So she brought him, took his shirt off, and there was nothing. So we're looking, and I said, well, what happened? Well, you prayed. I said, well, yeah, but we didn't expect anything. and I said, yeah. And she said, well, it left. I said, when? Well, she said, after you left, we looked, it was gone. So that really was too much to believe. So one of the students said she switched boys because she had two boys about the same age. They looked the same. I thought, okay, she's just trying to encourage us. Mrs. Gray, where's your other boy? She said, why? I said, I just want to see him. He's outside. She called him in. I said, take his shirt off. I thought we had her. Took his shirt off. There was nothing. We had the right boy. God had done a miracle. And we said, and what struck me was, here we are. We're the Bible school students. We're supposed to be helping them. When we prayed, we really didn't expect. We were surprised it happened. They would have been surprised if it didn't. They had such simple faith. And I made. I prayed that day. God, give me, in those days, Indian. God, give me Indian faith. Because I want that. Because I discovered in Bible school, we were challenged to analyze everything, dissect everything, you know, and that sapped the faith out of everything. And these people had such simple childlike faith. And, you know, you go back to what Jesus said. I mean, you know, they're saying, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to sit there? And Jesus brings his kid out. And he says, until you become like this child, you're not even going to make heaven. You're not a kingdom. And I thought, oh, God, this isn't complicated. This is so simple. And so they helped me. I have learned so much from the First Nation, from Inuit, that I'm indebted for life, their culture, their faith. So we're on this journey, and you know, here we are.
That's so amazing. Can you share with us, Bill? You mentioned your vision for Canada. Can you share with us what that is?
Yeah. Well,
and when you received it,
because vision changes everything.
Yes. Yes.
It really, and I honestly believe every person in the body of Jesus has a vision. People say, I don't have a vision. I believe you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most people reject the God-given vision for a couple of reasons. One, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. It's something that could never happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Two, because it's too big.
Yeah.
Three, because something you have no idea how to do it. And if it isn't impossible, if it isn't too big, if it is something you are able to, then it's not God. Mm-hmm. You could just do it.
Right.
So, you know, we came back from Pittsburgh. God started moving. Revival broke out. People were coming.
Yeah.
And we're pastoring this little church and trying to figure out, what do we do? What is this all about? And what do I do with this? Because you want to be a good steward. And some people saying, well, I wonder how long this is going to last. Because, you know, some moves of God last a few weeks or months or years, whatever. Yeah. So I'm sitting on a rock near our church. There was a Pentecostal camp that I was involved with near our place. So I went over there and sat on a rock overlooking the lake one evening. And I'm just saying, God, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a vision. I'm not given to vision. Some people have them all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not given to vision. This was so real.
Yeah.
I saw Canada. And during Bible school, I always felt God was going to do something in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd have anything to do with it, but you know, I thought he's going to do something.
Yeah.
And I saw Canada in revival.
Wow. Yeah.
I saw literally millions being swept in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Wow.
I saw people of other faiths being swept in the kingdom of God and reaching immediately their own nations. Mm-hmm. I saw stadiums across the country. It was so clear. It was like real.
Yeah.
I could see stadiums full of young people worshiping God, receiving, being set free. I saw on the city, I live in Ottawa, Canada. Mm-hmm. I saw 1,000 young people on the streets of my city doing the work of God, seeing people healed and set free. I saw Parliament coming to a halt. Because of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the north ablaze for fire, and it just went on. It was so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately knew that's what God's going to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody could talk me out of it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, people explain it can't happen. I've seen it. and I knew that that's what I give my life to.
Yeah.
Because when you get a vision, you can merge your life to that.
Yeah.
It gives you purpose.
Yes.
And, you know, like I'm very intentional of the people I have in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some people you have no choice. Maybe they're related or something. So, but you get to choose many times the people you have in your life.
Yeah.
And there are certain people that I've been very intentional about. Mm-hmm. I need them in my life. They're people of faith.
Mm-hmm.
We usually connect every day, whether it's texting or call or whatever.
Yeah.
They're people that God's using. They're people that have a vision.
Mm. Yeah.
And if you want vision, you hang around people with vision.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when they tell me what's happening in their ministry or their life and how, you know, God supplied this, God, I get so excited because if he did it for them, he'll do it for me.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I knew I'd give my life to this.
Yeah.
I knew that I Canada would be my place.
Yeah.
And interesting. During that season,
Canadian
pastors were quite hesitant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They heard stuff was coming or happening, but let's just wait.
Right.
I was getting calls from the United States, from pastors I'd heard about, asking me to come. We heard God's moving. Come, would you come speak at our conference?
Yeah.
And I think I was probably rude. I can't. No. I got to stay in Canada.
Yeah.
And at that time I thought, you know, I'll never go out of Canada. I mean, in later years, I felt, you know, God released me to go and tell him what's happening in Canada and take this. But so I knew that was Canada. And I knew I'd be alive to see the vision fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 1972, right now, that's what, 53 years ago, I started publicly to say, Canada shall be saved.
Yes.
And nobody could talk me out of it. I knew it. I'd seen it.
Yeah.
And the 70s were fun. They were a charismatic renewal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our ministry exploded. Right. We were on television across the country. We were doing, you know, getting great crowds and everything was going great. And then the 80s came in. They weren't fun.
Huh.
You know, I was a televangelist.
Mm-hmm.
two Pentecostal televangelists of high profile fell. Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker.
Yeah.
And the influence they had was phenomenal.
Yeah.
The impact of the fall was phenomenal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, a lot of people put you in the same thing. Mm-hmm. They didn't trust you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I understood that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, never tried to defend mm-hmm. anything. But while the 70s were easy, the 80s were, what do you do when it gets hard? You just keep doing what right. God's yeah. called you to do.
Right.
You just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And I was very relieved when in the 90s we heard God was moving in Toronto.
Yeah.
I ended up getting involved preaching there mm-hmm. 2 years in a row. That's and awesome. It changed my life and all this. But I can tell you.
Yeah.
That without a shadow of a doubt, I am living to see my vision fulfilled.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've seen during the truckers convoy, we've seen hundreds of young evangelists on the streets of Ottawa.
Yeah. Like your vision.
Wow.
Exactly yeah. what I saw.
Come
yeah.
on.
And I don't know that there was 1,000, but there will be.
Yeah.
Mm. And when they were FaceTiming me and sending me pictures and videos, I said to my wife, I've seen this.
Yeah.
Before they were born, I saw them. It was so exciting
That's
just
awesome.
Watching.
Yeah.
And so I don't cool. have to do it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. you know, for the North, Jacob Walda, who now leads our ministry,
yes.
we yeah. passed yeah. the baton mm-hmm. over, and that was the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
I just get to do what I love to do
yes,
now.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And because for years, you know, you do what you have to do. There's mm-hmm. a lot of things you have to do. I don't have yeah. to do anything.
Now you know.
I just do what I want to do. Yeah. And so being very intentional where I am yeah. and what I'm doing and all.
Yeah.
But so he probably the first year of our ministry, when he was together with us, took over the ministry in the North
yeah. mm-hmm.
and developed Champions of Hope teams that go in and minister.
That's right, yeah.
What I've seen mm-hmm. is what I saw in the vision. Whole
wow.
communities being touched and changed,
yeah.
suicide rates coming down
Come
drastically.
On, Jesus.
And we've been declaring God's so big good. Enough that suicide shall be stopped in the North.
Yes.
Yeah,
I saw that. And then, you know, Terrell Smith in Saskatchewan connected
yes.
with us.
Yep.
She said, I've got this vision to do stadium events, but I need you to walk with me. And
yeah.
And well, Jacob and I both have had the same vision for mm-hmm. Canada
yeah.
and it involves stadiums. So yeah.
yeah. Yeah, it's like a puzzle piece.
So we you know, we knew that God wasn't calling us to do it,
yeah.
but that was part of the vision. So we'll do whatever we can yeah. to help.
There's partnership in vision, right?
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
So it's just like KCM and us. Mm-hmm. When we do something, you're part of it.
Yeah.
And when you do something, we're part of it. Yeah. So we've been walking with Terrell, mm-hmm. been part of the stadium's events in Saskatoon and in Regina. And I was telling the staff that I stood on the platform of Regina and said, I've been here before.
Wow.
I was here in 1972.
Yeah.
yeah.
And the stadium wasn't built till 2016.
Yeah.
But it was exactly what I saw.
Wow.
Before it was
wow.
built. And I said, I've seen you before yeah. they were born, years before they were born.
Wow.
And I watched as hundreds gave their lives to Christ.
Wow.
And like, it's great to have a vision, but it's really more fun to have
to
a vision realized.
Yes.
And so it's yeah. really, it's the faithfulness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy will do everything he can mm-hmm. to distract you from your vision.
Yeah.
The vision that we have has kept us on point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blessed with a great wife that helps me.
yep.
And because we get opportunities to do stuff all over the world that mm-hmm. I think would be so much fun.
Yeah.
And her, and now my daughter, Meg, who acts like my mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meg will say, how's that fit in with the vision?
It's a good question.
Well, don't ask me that.
Yeah.
It'd just be fun to do. But she said, okay, you fly over to Europe to speak once, and then you fly right. Because she said, you're busy. I said, it's just a day, you know. She said, you'll be exhausted, then you'll get crabby. Well, that's never happened, but she keeps speaking that it's going to. So, and I think, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. So the vision, you know, for the North, vision for Canada, that has always been the priority. It always will be.
Yeah.
And the great thing is now Jacob is leading. He's got the same vision.
Yes.
So it's it's in great hands.
Wow.
And
yes.
this year, is the greatest year in our ministry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's taken it to a new level, and I'm cheering him on, and we're still running together. Well, we're walking together.
That's awesome.
So now you're living with the vision being fulfilled.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But when you had the vision in 1972, that wasn't the case. And even you said in the 80s, it was, getting harder. For anyone that is in our demographic, you know, starting to have visions and even the visions that we're having, how do you steward those visions in a way that, we're not sitting 40 some years in the future watching them being fulfilled, and maybe it'll be that long, maybe it won't be that long, but how do you store that vision?
I think
vision?
The great thing for you guys is everything is speeding up. You know, we're running out of time, so everything's accelerating.
Okay.
So I think it won't be that long, you know, because I don't think we've got that long.
Yeah.
But I think it's very, very important that, because I know in the 80s, I can tell you honestly, we had kind of a hiking trail through a forest near our house. Mm-hmm. I'd go walking out there, and I never told many people, but I would cry out to God, take this, I don't want this. Because I could have gone, gone to the States. Mm. I had opportunities, it would be so much easier. This is hard. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this. And he wouldn't. And a few years later, I said, thank you. Thank you for not doing what I wanted you to do, because I get to be part of a nation now experiencing God. So I think you keep focus on the vision and you keep speaking the vision.
Okay.
You keep speaking, keep talking about it.
Yeah.
And you encourage yourself with the vision. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, surround yourself with people that are faith people that won't sap it out of you. Like, honestly, I tell some people, we don't need demons. We got Christians that will sap every dream, and you go to believe for the impossible. Yeah. And oh no, don't get your hopes built up. Right. Yes, get your hopes built up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yes.
A reporter in Thunder Bay said to me, Reverend, aren't you concerned about building people's hopes up too much? Like, you're talking about miracles.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, if it was me doing it, I would be really concerned. But if you know Jesus, my challenge is to build their hopes up enough. Because faith doesn't happen without hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
That's right.
And so Canada has lost hope.
Wow.
Christians have lost hope. And you can't really be faith people without hope. And so you have to steward a vision. You have to speak it. You have to have people that encourage you with it. And then look for opportunities. You can't make it happen. There's nothing you can do to make a God other than be faithful. And you know, I think the Bible says, whatever you see to do, set your hand to it in all your might. Guys come to me, young guys, and say, God's called me to be evangelist. I want to travel with you. And I said, I think that's wonderful. Go back to your home church. Tell your pastor you want to serve. Tell him you want to do stuff that nobody else wants. Tell him you want to clean the toilets. And they just look at you. Some do it. Some actually do it. It's like David, you know, when he went back, after he's anointed king, he goes back taking care of the sheep. And his attitude was, like most people say, are you kidding me? I'm better than that. And we get one of my brothers or something. He said, by his actions, he said, if I'm going to take care of those sheep, I'm going to take care of them better than anybody else. I'm going to protect them. So, because, you know, really, it probably had a lot. And one lamb missing, one sheep missing, who's going to miss it? And the bear came, the lion came. Oh, no, not on my watch. I mean, he goes right after the lion, grabs his beard and punches and kills the thing. No, you're not touching one. And I think it starts with serving. And so if you want your vision fulfilled, find somebody with vision, serve them, pour into their vision, help them. And you say, well, no, but I want my vision. If you give, it's given back.
That's right.
You sow into vision, it's going to find ministries that have vision that you can sow into. And then it's going to come back to you. This actually works. I think KCM people understand that a little bit. But And so I think, you know, you surround yourself and then you find people that are going to join with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because vision brings life mm-hmm. to people.
Partnership. Yes. Yep.
And so they come and they'll help you.
Yeah.
You know, Nehemiah had the vision of rebuilding the wall, but he had to get other people to help him do it. So
he was building it on his own.
No, he couldn't do it. So, and the thing, I think we're learning more now than ever. We need each other. Generations need each other.
Yeah, they do.
Ministries need each other. Right. I love what's happening through KCM. I love what's happening through Disciple of City. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the ministries are coming together, helping each other for one purpose.
Beautiful.
You know, when we did the stadium events, KCM came, Disciple of City came, our ministry came, other ministries came, and nobody was pushing any agenda other than, let's just see people saved and touched. Yeah. Let's see Canada won.
Yeah.
And God just blesses that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That's so beautiful. Yeah. I love that. Wow. Bill, as you're talking about, you know, behind the scenes of vision, what were, because you mentioned we needed people with your vision to carry out the vision. At the beginning, did God just send those people to you? What did that look like? Or did you go out and find them?
Yeah.
You found people and you served them, you said.
And there's kind of different levels. Like there's a level of people that I would connect with every day. Some of them I've been very intentional because you can never possess what you don't pursue.
Right, mm-hmm. yes.
So I work on relationships. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need relationships. I need people, you know. Yeah. So the people that I have in my life are the most amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we sit together, we talk together, whatever, we just encourage each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. But then, people come.
Yeah.
People come. And sometimes, you know, David Maines, when he started 100 Huntley Street, he was pretty lonely because most Christian leaders in Canada were saying, it will never happen. Canada can't support this and all of this. But we were very involved helping. And it's like when Elijah went to heaven in the whirlwind, the chariot, Elijah comes down to the river.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 50 sons of the prophets standing afar on a hill watching.
Yeah,
they weren't right there helping him, encouraging him.
Mm.
And you know what? My experience says a lot of them were not talking faith.
Right. Yep.
Like, who's he think he is?
Mm-hmm.
He's not
mm-hmm.
Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to drown. You watch him.
Yeah.
But he hit the water with Elijah's mantle, and the water parted. And guess what? Those 50 guys came down and said, "We're with you."
Yeah.
So there are times as a visionary where it can be really lonely.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because you and God are always a majority, you know. So so it really doesn't matter. If God's for you, who can be against you? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And you know, and if you're going to see a vision fulfilled, you're going to have opposition. You're going to persecution. You got people tell lies about you. There was a season when I really felt sorry for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew people were saying things and doing things. And I had a little talk to Jesus. And all I wanted was him. Oh, poor Bill. I heard Holy Spirit saying, "Welcome to the club." He said, "Did you notice how they treated all the prophets?
Yeah.
Notice how they treated me, the disciples? Yeah. Like, you want in on this? Yeah. You know? Yeah." So when... probably around 1980, close to the late 1970s, we were ministering and we had television across the country, and the news was reporting Quebec was going to do a referendum to leave Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard it. That was the first time I'd ever heard of anything like this. Mm-hmm. I was horrified. Mm-hmm. No, the vision is sea to sea.
Right.
Riverton, they can't break this up.
Yeah.
So I said, "We've got to do something."
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, we'll pray.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a prayer meeting. Yeah. July 1st, we'll have a prayer meeting."
Yeah.
I rented the arena in Ottawa.
Yeah.
It was that time. It was called the Civic Center. It sat about 10,000. And I said, "We'll have a great Canadian prayer meeting." And, well, so We'd never done anything like this before. And so my brother-in-law, who managed the ministry, took me down, stood me in the middle of where the ice would normally be, to look at all these empty seats, yeah. thinking, I think, because I had pastors saying, like Pranker, you want a prayer meeting? You can use our church.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't going to come to a prayer meeting. I looked at that place. I got so excited.
Yeah.
I saw people in those seats. So that didn't help. So anyway, so we start promoting this Great Canadian Prayer Meeting. And I just knew this is what we're supposed to do. Get together. What are you going to do? We're going to pray for Canada.
Yeah.
Pray for Quebec. And so we get a phone call from the Prime Minister's office. And the Prime Minister was Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
Yeah.
Who wow. he was not... He was very liberal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
he represented the Liberal Party very well.
Yes.
I had met him. He was a very smart man.
Mm-hmm.
He respected the church.
Right.
He had a real respect for the church.
Yeah.
And he really loved Canada. He did not want to see Canada break up.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Quebec.
Yeah.
And interestingly, he was also pro-life.
Oh.
Okay.
So he would not be allowed to be in his son's government because to be in Justin's government, you couldn't be pro-life. Because
right.
Pierre said very publicly, I respect women's rights.
Yeah.
But the moment of conception, that's a person and that person has rights. So
that's
that
right.
so yep. he had those things going. And he was good. A leader. He didn't care what the public said. He did.
Yeah. yeah.
And so we get this phone call at my office from the Prime Minister's office. And the message to me was the Prime Minister is very concerned about this Great Canadian Prayer Meeting. Okay. So what? You got to shut us down?
Yeah.
I said, find out what the concerns are.
Yeah.
I had most Christian leaders telling me yeah. nobody was going to come. It's going to be embarrassing. His concern was, it's 10 o'clock July 1st morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a parade. In those days, they did a big parade through the downtown core,
yeah, yeah.
10 o'clock.
Yeah.
He says, there's going to be so many people coming to the Great Canadian Prayer Meeting.
Yes.
There's going to be a major yeah. traffic jam. It's going to be a mess.
That's funny.
So he had a request. Would you consider moving it to 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
If you do, we will put the Great Canadian Prayer Meeting on the official wow. agenda, government agenda for the day, and wow. we will promote it.
Wow.
So... this is vision.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So yeah. I said, all the Bible says, if any two agree is touching anything, it doesn't say yeah. who. I said, the Prime Minister has faith.
Wow.
He's got
awesome.
More faith
wow.
than these pastors.
Yeah.
I'm coming into agreement
yeah.
with the Prime Minister of Canada.
Oh,
there's going to be so many people coming.
Yeah.
And it everything. To, of course, when beautiful. They start promoting it, the press got a hold of it.
Yeah.
I had so much many wow. opportunities. And one guy said, well, so what are you praying about? I said, we're praying for a spiritual change in Canada
mm-hmm.
and a
yeah.
shift. And
yeah.
well, then if it's spiritual, you won't know. Oh, you'll know, I said, you'll know. So the day came and a prime minister didn't come. He sent his deputy leader. So many members of parliament, senators and whatnot yeah. were there. And the media reported between 8,000 and 9,000 people
wow.
showed up to pray wow. for Canada.
Cool.
And so... God surprises you along the way.
Yes.
When you get a vision.
Yeah.
Because inside your main vision, there's these steps
yeah.
that all have a part of it.
Yeah.
And he'll always have people. So wow. Pierre Elliott Trudeau and I came into agreement in faith.
That's amazing.
That's so
wow.
good. That's a good one.
Yeah. So,
wow.
so there you go. So don't throw it out.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so good. We, so like I said, we had Jacob here a few months ago
yeah.
and he talked about the Timothy, which is what is now the Timothy generation.
Mm-hmm.
And he shared with us almost his side of the story of your guys' story.
Yeah.
And he shared with us some practical advice even for the Timothy generation mm-hmm. as well as the Paul generation. Can we hear your side of that now? We would love yeah. to hear
and
your
now
side.
Now you know the
of
rest
that.
Of the story.
And now we want to hear the other side of the story.
Well,
he did give us some practical advice for what the, you know, when a Timothy generation is looking for a father.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the Paul generation, when, you know, if they're not pouring into the next generation, you know, just practical steps and what does that look like? And we'd love to hear your side of that.
First of all, Jacob Welda is one of the most amazing people I know.
He is. We agree.
I absolutely love him. Yeah. He's my best friend outside of my wife. And we just share life together.
Yeah.
It was an easy thing, right timing to pass the baton of leadership to him. And so I'm so proud of him. We, shortly into him coming on board and us traveling together, pastors started saying, you guys are amazing, because we would end most, if we were in a place for 2 or 3 days, the last service, we would join together, the two generations, laying hands on everybody.
It's beautiful.
We found, you know, when ministries join together, there's emerging anointing. It's strong. But when generations do, it goes to another level. So we found that. So pastor said, you're modeling something. We didn't even realize it. You're modeling something. Because he said, this is unusual for somebody in my generation and somebody in his generation. Like, he's younger than many of my grandchildren.
Whoa.
Like, I have a granddaughter that's 41.
Okay.
Wow. Last year, she said, Papa, how's it feel to have a granddaughter 40? I don't know. I don't know. And by the way, we have the best family in the world. Four kids, 12 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
And counting, because, our grandkids are just all getting married and having kids. But so we realized that. And then we realized that this transition that we did and the way we did it, I started getting calls from leaders of ministry and pastors saying, we've never seen this done well. And it seems like you guys are doing it well. And can you help us? Because some of them are thinking we have to have a plan here for transition. And I think it was George Pearson that said to me, why do some older people have trouble letting go of the baton? And I think it's because they're concerned that they'll just be forgotten about. And they'll be thrown out, discarded, or whatever. Because some young people, when they take over something, they feel they have to undo everything that the other one did, and because it wasn't them, and they have to do it their way. And I understand that, but they like what we were doing because Jacob is actually building on it. And the ministry is exactly the same. The only difference is the name. I did suggest if he changed his name to Bill Prinker, it would be easy. But he's Jacob.
But he, he's like, I'm not doing
that. No, he, so, you know, so the name is Timothy Generation, which I absolutely love. But the book he wrote, The Timothy Generation, when I read it, it impacted me because it's a very powerful message to my generation. Jacob and I did a podcast a few years ago, and the podcast we did then was just me. He's answering, he's asking questions coming from his friends and all this. And so we were finished, and he said, I got one more question. I said, okay. He said, what does my generation do with older people in the church that don't like us?
A great question.
I said, well, it's how sad that has to be asked, but it's, I get it. I said, that's unfortunate, but it's true. A lot of old people, they don't like change. They don't like the music. They don't like this. They don't like the way they dress. They don't, you know, like in my day, if we had jeans with a hole in it, my mom would patch them.
my grandpa always asks me that. If I have a hole in my, he's like, can I buy you some new jeans?
So, you know, there's some stretching things. And because change is sometimes difficult. What I understood is that, first of all, every move of God has its own sound, its own look. And sometimes the hardest ones to be part of that is ones that have been part of a move of God before. And I didn't want to miss it. I didn't want to miss anything. So you have to be flexible and go with it. There are some values that you don't compromise on, but there's a lot of other things that are cultural. You know, and we love, like, When I'm alone, quite often, I'll listen to Gaither music.
Okay.
Because that was life-changing for me. When I came out of the Baptist church, our music was, because there's many kinds of Baptists. We were the dead kind. So our music was like funeral.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But then I came into the Pentecostal church, and our pastor would bring these Southern gospel groups in.
Yeah.
It was life. It was fun. Yeah, I bought all their big records, and, you know, and so that takes me back to that. But we love the new music. We love it.
Yeah.
The church we attend in Ottawa when I'm in town, Woodville, the worship is so good. It's so wonderful. It's the choruses that are coming out are so powerful. We love it. And so I think, you know, you have to be, you have to be flexible. But I said to Jacob, to me, it's love. You know, I said, just love these old people. They don't know you. Like we led a ministry in Ottawa, a church. It was called Dominion Outreach Center. But half of the church was older people. Half of them were young adults, which was wonderful. And so we thought most of our focus was on the young adults. And so I thought we need to do something for these people, you know, older people. So we got a meeting together, had lunch. And I said, you know, this group needs to be doing something. What do you want to do? Well, a lot of them said, we want to be part of the young adult thing. And so then Earl, my friend, who now is in heaven, he said, Bill, we have a problem. Well, we don't have problems. We have opportunities for miracles. But, and anyway, I said, okay, Earl, what is it? They all sit on one side. We all sit on the other side.
Yeah.
I said, well, Earl, move. So the next Sunday I come out. Earl and Ann, they're seniors, retired business guy. Sitting right in the middle of all the young adults waving
at me.
Awesome. Awesome.
And you know what happened?
Oh.
They started talking. And some of these young guys found out Earl had been a successful businessman. They were launching into business. Would you have coffee with me? Would you? Could I talk? And they became friends. They didn't even know each other before. And so I said to Jacob, you start by loving. Go, because I said a lot of these people, they might be crabby old people now, but they have paid a great price. You know, they've carried this message. You have what you have because of many of them.
That's
so you go and thank them.
Right.
Thank you for being faithful. Thank you. Honor them. And you know, love and honor is pretty hard to fight. And then I said, it's great to get a gift card for Tim Hortons, $10 gift card. Say, take your wife out for coffee. We just want to bless you. And walls will come down. And so because the last words in the Old Testament, now, what's going to happen in these days? Hearts of the fathers will be joined to the sons. Hearts of the sons of the fathers. That hadn't happened. The young generation did their thing. Older generation did their thing. Now, there's that coming together, and we're realizing the strength. We need each other.
I need
Jacob's generation. I need your generation. But you need us. And, you know, and that's the whole point of the Timothy Conference that we do. Is that bring people in that have, you know, had some traction years ahead, learn things. Mostly we've learned the hard way by our mistakes, and let us help those that are coming after us so they don't have to make the same mistakes. And so it's been absolutely wonderful.
Wow.
And that's why I think we so value people like Kenneth Copeland, who continues to pour the wealth of experience he's got into all of those that are following. He does that through television, through meetings, and through his books, everything, you know. But we have to, the generations have to come together. And part of my message is to my generation is that they need us. They need us.
Yes.
And you see the tragic thing in the scripture was pretty well a whole generation didn't want to go in. They went back and died in the wilderness. But there was Joshua and Caleb. They had a different spirit. And basically they said, we've come too far. We've done too much. We're not going back down. We're going in with you. And we're going to inherit. We want the tall place, the mountains. and they did. And there's an anointing. I believe there's an anointing of Joshua and Caleb available today for my generation. Because people say, well, I'm tired and I'm not. Well, that renews your strength in youth. And I tell people, you can age, but you don't have to get old.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we found a few years ago, we'd get together with these gatherings with people we've been in Bible school with, and their whole talk is about retiring. Yeah. Just getting out of this thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, two more years and we're going to be out. It's like it's a prison being in ministry. It's like a punishment. And I say, well, what are you going to do? Nothing. They're looking for doing nothing.
Yeah.
And then they look at us and say, well, what about you guys? Well, we feel we're just starting.
Yeah.
You know? And then they think we're weird. So we hitch with the young guys who don't think that way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Deuteronomy says, God says, I mean, he's basically going to curse the leaders because they did not serve him with joy and gladness.
Yeah.
And it's very easy in ministry because people betray you, people hurt you, people you help turn their back on you and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to take that on and to lose the joy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep that joy through all that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, how do I not? I wake up every day thinking, I get to be a part of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and in this season, it's like every week I'm hearing from people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them is a little challenging because I was just in a conference in Ottawa and had several people that looked very old come to me and say, when I was a kid, my mom and dad brought me to your meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at them. They look really old. And I thought, that's rude. You could just say, I was in your meetings years ago. But I keep hearing the reports because the devil always tells everybody, you haven't done anything. It doesn't count about how their life was changed and how they were healed, how they were saved, their family and what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And honestly, for me, like when God called me in the ministry, it was so clear. I want you to preach.
Mm-hmm.
It was the easiest thing I ever did. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I wanted it. First of all, I wanted it fun.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like fun in the ministry. And then I thought I had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like preachers I saw that were doing, I thought, well, they could sing, they could play instruments, they could speak. I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And they were smart. And I said, God, finally, because God doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I don't feel like I've got anything, but all I've got is my life. I'll give you my life.
Yeah.
And that's all I've had. And so I realized that I'm totally dependent on Holy Spirit because without him, I've got nothing. Mm-hmm. And the miracles we've seen, the healings we've seen, the lives changed. I just kind of stand and watch it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. So I'm still amazed that anybody invites me anywhere. Like, wow, really? And then secondly, what God's done, and I get to be part of this.
Yeah.
Like, it's really easy. I just wake up in the morning, think what God's doing right now in the north, and I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
And you know, by partnering with KCM, I'm a part of this whole worldwide thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how you could not have joy.
Yeah, come on.
I don't understand that. So,
mm-hmm. That's
Bill,
amazing.
Thank you so much for everything that you've done through the years. And
yes, thank you.
As you were sharing just then, I saw a vision of you, and I saw you in the middle of a forest. And I saw that as you were sharing, way, way, way back when you started, the mud, it was all mud and it was all dirt. And you were planting all these seeds.
Mm.
And now you're in the middle of a forest.
Oh, wow.
Of a place that has grown, of fruit that has come out of trees, of green, of life all around you.
Wow.
And so I just want to thank you for the forest that you've created in Canada spiritually.
Thank
spiritually.
You.
Thank you so much.
I love you guys.
We love you too.
We love you too.
Thank
you
so
much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was such... The wisdom, seriously, for our generation. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah.
We love having you.
What a privilege. And yeah, a little intimidating to follow people like Jacob Walda and others. Here I am.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we're excited to for the Timothy Conference coming up.
Yes.
To be a part of that. It's going to be amazing.
You've heard.
We've heard.
Oh, we've heard.
Yes.
Oh, we've heard. It's a lineup, too.
Well, God gave me the vision of doing a Timothy conference.
Yeah.
And we did one in Toronto a couple of years ago. It was a one-up. It wasn't an annual thing. It was one-up. Let's do it. Let's bring some of our friends in pour into those commands. Mm-hmm. So we had John Arnott, yeah, and we had Benny Hinn, we had Terry Copeland Pearson's, we had Robert Sliverton teaching us from God's Generals, and Jacob and I, and it was so good. Yeah. We said, let's do another one. So we did one last year in Toronto, and now.
Third year now.
Yeah, and Jacob now is leading, so it's his decision. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, no, we gotta keep him. So we're bringing it to Edmonton. We had so many people and leaders say, have one in the West. Yeah. So I think his plan is at this point, do one in the West, mm-hmm, and the next year will be in the East, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm West. Yeah. So it's in Edmonton. And yeah, we've got some preachers coming.
Oh, yes, we do.
Robert Sliverton's coming, who does the afternoon sessions. And he's given his life to study the Generals. Catherine Kuhlman and Smith Wigglesworth,
so
all
good
of them.
Yep.
And when he talks about it, it's not a history lesson. It's like you get to know them.
Yes, yep.
It's like they're there. When he, like my life was changed in Catherine Kuhlman's service. Yep. When he did Catherine Kuhlman, the first Timothy conference, I felt the same anointing as I did in her meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like she was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's coming to the afternoons. George and Terry are coming, Pearson's.
Yes, that's right.
Going to minister together. Yeah. George showed up last year.
He did, yes. And, that was so good.
Yeah. And he just said that was life-changing. He needed that, he said. Mm-hmm. And so then when I was down a few months ago, I said, I know Terry's coming. I wouldn't miss it for the world. So George and Terry are going to minister together.
Come on. That's awesome, yeah.
And Jacob and I and Jason Chen, who is a new guy to most people. We met him in Rochester at a conference we spoke at, Jacob and I, last summer or last fall. And just love this guy. He's part of Bethel, Reading Bethel.
Right,
he led their outreach. Then now he's living in Switzerland. And he's him and his wife, and they're part of a great ministry that is kind of like Disciple of City here. Mm-hmm. They're doing that. They're training.
Yeah.
He's part of reaching a million people this coming month in Europe.
Come on.
I mean, thousands of young adults are being saved and coming into the power of God in Europe. So he's part of that. So Jacob said to me, we just meet this guy. Yeah. I loved him. He said, I really feel I'm supposed to invite him to Timothy.
Yeah.
And that, you just met the guy. And since then, Jason has become a spiritual son to me. We meet every 2 weeks at FaceTime. And he's just phenomenal. He's so contagious. He people love him. And then Kenneth Copeland in person is coming to Timothy Conference.
Wow.
We are so excited, so happy. He's going to be with us on the Friday morning.
Yeah.
Jacob and I are going to sit together with him on the platform and ask Kenneth Copeland questions.
What a privilege.
That is exciting.
And
that
people that are there through a QR code can submit questions.
Okay.
And because the whole vision is to pour into those coming after.
That's right.
Not necessarily just young people. Yep. There are older people being raised up launching a ministry.
That's right.
They need to learn.
Yeah.
So Kenneth is going to really be such a blessing.
Yes.
I couldn't be happier. Oh, and then Jacob and I. So it's, what is it? August 20th, 23rd.
Yep.
I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And taking my wife to Edmonton for our anniversary. It's
the
22nd.
That's exciting.
I'm so excited about this one. This is going to be the greatest one
for
a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
And NKCM is coming, of course.
Yeah, we are. We're
so
going to be there.
So excited.
I'm so happy you are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have notes on all the information in the notes for people to register. And
wonderful.
All that.
Yeah. And they should register quickly because we expect it's going to fill.
Come on.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Bill, praise God. We end? Would you pray for our partners and friends that are watching?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Father, you know everyone that's watching right now. There's not one that's watching by accident. Mm-hmm. This is a divine appointment. And I pray, God, not that this won't be just information or just listening to conversation, but this will be revelation, that this will be impartation. Mm-hmm. And by faith, we reach out and lay hands on every person watching right now. and pray that the fire of God would ignite them. Mm-hmm. And that vision and that dream they've got for them will rise up. Yeah. Some of them had it years ago, and now they think it's dead. Mm-hmm. It doesn't die. Mm-hmm. If it's from you, it never dies. Yeah. And so give them the courage to embrace it and believe that you're able to do through them that which is big, mm-hmm. that which is impossible, that which they could never know how to do. Mm-hmm. So I pray, God, you'll inject people with vision and hope and encouragement. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bill.
Yeah.
It's been an honor.
Thank you.
True honor.
This is fun.
You. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Awesome. Hi, this is May from Langley, BC. This broadcast is made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCN, you are helping to send free resources to people around the world, like this podcast. For more faith-filled resources, please visit kcmcanada.ca.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this episode has charged your faith. And if it did, make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. We also have a free PDF resource with study notes from this episode. And we encourage you to download and go through it to stay charged, connected, and walking in victory. If you've been encouraged by this episode and want to help make a difference, consider becoming a partner. Visit the link in the description to learn more.